Hi,
I'm Sasha.
And I'm Ezra.
And welcome to another episode of our podcast
concerning climate.
Today, we have Hannah Wicks.
Hannah Wicks is the Chief Marketing Officer for Ecosia, a search engine that plants trees when you search for something on the web.
In general, what do Chief Marketing Officers do, and what specific work have you done with Ecosia?
Ooh, that's a really good question. Firstly, thank you for having me on. Chief Marketing Officer, I think it varies by company and organization that you work at. What it means for me is that I manage a team of around 20 people, and we work across marketing communications and also business development. So that means that I have people in my team when it's not COVID who visit our tree planting projects. They take a lot of cameras and equipment, and they interview and film people and record and document our trees. And that gets made into lots of videos and podcasts and images that you'll see on social media. So I have people like that in my team. I have people who work on billboard advertising and things like TV ads or video on demand ads. I also have people who work in press. So they work with journalists telling stories and help with coordinating interviews like this one. And then I also have people who look after different markets. So Ecosia, we're actually in Germany. So we are mostly based there, but we also have a lot of users in the US. So we have a US country manager, a lot of users in the UK, and a huge amount of people actually use Ecosia in France, and particularly Paris. So we have a French team as well. So I work with them and they localize. So a lot of what you read about Ecosia online, that team makes sure that the French users can read it in French, or our users can also read it in German as well, because that's our home country. So yeah, my job is dealing with all of those different things that come up because we are a tech company on the one hand. So we've got to make sure that you can find out what you want to find online, but we are also a tree planting organization. So it's like being two different companies at the same time. So my job is to make sure we can tell the story of what Ecosia does. And so new people hear about us and start using Ecosia and planting trees.
So what is Ecosia and how does Ecosia work?
Ooh, that is actually a more complex question than you would imagine. So Ecosia is a tree planting search engine, which means that when someone hops online, they can obviously use the big giant we shall not name search engine, or they can use alternative search engines. And it means someone just wants to ask the internet something like, how do I get to this place? Or how old is this person? And people ask random questions of the internet all the time. But what we do then is with any of the ads that appear next to that, rather than keep the money ourselves, we take that money and put it into tree planting. So we're not a charity, but we are a social business. So 80% of all the money that Ecosia makes goes directly into tree planting. The other 20% goes into green investments. So things like building solar panels so we don't have to run on fossil fuels. Those kind of topics are really important to us as well. So yeah, today Ecosia has planted 120 million trees, and that is all thanks to the users who are asking the internet lots of random questions, and therefore we can plant trees with that.
How did people who created Ecosia think of this idea?
Ooh, that's an interesting one. So our founder, Christian, went to university, studied, I think, business, and was thinking about becoming a stockbroker. And then pretty much one day woke up and went, what am I doing? Like, I'm just going to make money for other people. So he went on a very large trip around different countries. Particularly, he went to Nepal. And I think that it was a shock to the system of what living conditions are like. If you have grown up in Germany, even East Germany, where he grew up, it is very different. And he was like, what is a way that I could change people's lives, that I can change poverty, change the impact? But he was also struck by the way people were out of sync in some ways with nature. Like, there was mass deforestation, destroyed landscapes. What can we do to bring back wildlife, to bring back nature? And he was like, trees. Like, this landscape needs more trees. People have deforested and destroyed too many forests. So he went traveling a bit more and then came back and he's like, how can I solve this? Like, how could I make lots of money and actually give it all away to something that I care about? And he was like, who's making a lot of money? And he's like, well, Google seems to be doing quite well. And he was like, what happens if I didn't keep the money for myself or for shareholders? So that's when it started. And it was very, very small, because if you go to investors or like people and you're like, hey, can you help me grow my business? They're like, well, what am I going to get back? And if you're like, well, actually nothing, because I'm putting everything into tree planting, it takes a long time for it to grow. So Ecosia was word of mouth. There were people who would just like tell another person, and it grew slowly by slowly by slowly until today we have 15 million monthly active users. And a lot of that has been because of podcasts like this, from people telling other people about the work that we do, which is cool.
Yeah. So what got you interested in helping climate change on a corporate level?
So a long, long time ago, I was a radio producer, and I worked in music radio and making podcasts like this, which was a lot of fun. And it was for government-funded radio, and it was very much about people. It was about connecting people with stories and getting people engaged behind ideas and campaigns. And we often had chances to tell stories that were really important, whether it was about nature or domestic violence, different topics, which are incredibly difficult for people to come to terms with and understand how we can fix those problems. So that was when I was like, oh, I really love working with people on this. Then I moved to Germany. And one day I saw this role come up at Ecosia, and they were like chief marketing officer for a tree planting search engine. And I'd heard about Ecosia and I was like, imagine if you can make this idea really big. So for me, I was like, what can I do? I had skills of working in marketing, working in media, and I was like, how can I grow that? So I sent them an email immediately and I was like, are you still looking for this person? Because I think I might be that person. And then I joined. And for me, it was as I was joining that I was coming to terms with how big the climate crisis is and what a huge problem it is and how there's many ways we can tackle it, but we need to do it at scale. So we need lots and lots of people to fix this, and we need governments to affect change. And as much as it is helpful for small things, like if you reduce the amount of meat you eat, if you don't try and use plastics, those small changes, we need bigger changes and we need multiple millions of people to do them. So for me, I was like, this is a cool way to go about that. Can we get millions of people to change something small and therefore change ecosystems, which is cool.
Why is Ecosia a better choice than other search engines?
This question's good. So Ecosia covers a lot of bases. So firstly, we're planting trees with your searches, which no other search engine allows you to do. We're also privacy friendly, so we don't pass your data along to advertisers. And that's part of being an ethical company as well. So we had to make that decision. And I think it's definitely been the right one, because a lot of companies can see so much of what you're doing online and send you content and help you think a certain way, which isn't always helpful. So Ecosia is not like that. So privacy friendly, tree planting, and we're also more than net zero, so more than carbon neutral. So quite, I think in 2018, we started investing heavily in solar. So our chief operations officer was like looking for old factories, old buildings where he can place solar panels and basically adding that to the grid. So we cover all the searches that everyone does then again. And now we've just hit 300%. So it means that we're actually putting way more energy back into the grid, particularly in Germany, than we use, which means other homes and businesses are also getting that green energy. So for me, that's really important. And I would say that there's other search engines are being great in this area, but they haven't gone that far yet at all.
What have you learned from working at Ecosia about climate change that could be applied to everyday life?
I think during the time I've been here, I've seen it's very easy to feel powerless. It's very easy to feel not very hopeful. And I think what I have learned is that people can come together. And when you have a group of people, even if it's just three or four people, it can grow and you can spread that message. And I think Greta Thunberg, the Fridays for Future movement has been particularly big in scaling that. And it starts off as one person's slightly crazy idea, and then it starts to snowball and it starts to grow. And other people are like, you're right, we need to do something about this. So I think for me, I've learned that one person, you feel like you can't do much, but as soon as you spread the message to another person, you can. And also that I've realized that people and individuals, and it really doesn't matter what the age range is or where they're from, but they can hold governments to account, because we really, really need governments to change this. And so having young people who really can't vote yet getting out there on the streets and demonstrating and saying, this needs to change, this is our future. That for me is realizing that they can actually affect government policy is huge and very exciting. So that is massive. I also didn't really know about carbon in depth. Like, I kind of understood it, but not really. And how trees basically suck down carbon and store it in their branches and in their root system and in the soil, and how that is basically can save us. At scale, it can have a massive impact. So for me, like, really grasping that concept and then being like, the more trees that we can have, the more carbon that we can suck down. Like, that's really exciting. And it means that we can, it's not like a problem that can't be fixed. There are ways to pull the carbon and the heat out of our atmosphere.
What are some challenges you've encountered with your work at Ecosia?
That's an interesting question. I think there's some unique challenges. One, like, we work in so many different languages and so many different countries. So there's searches coming from more than 180 countries. So you have so many people, so many different understandings of climate change, different languages you have to communicate in, that it's a really big challenge. I also really love that because it's a global movement, and it feels like you can affect change when there are so many people connected around one cause. So that's a big challenge. We're also puts all of our money into tree planting as much as we possibly can. So we don't invest huge amounts in marketing or in the product even itself. Like, we aren't investing everything into trying to compete with the biggest tech companies in the world. So it means that you are always going to be like the David and Goliath story. You're always going to be the David. So you have to be really creative, and you have to be like, how could we do this differently? We're really small, but what could we do to get people excited, to get people on board, and to be different in the approach, because we don't have a lot of money to throw at things. So it's fun from a marketing perspective, and from my job, I really enjoy that.
Is there anything Ecosia can do or does to prevent deforestation in addition to planting trees?
This is a really interesting one, because obviously you have huge landscapes that have been deforested partially or sometimes completely. How do we even ensure that the trees are there after we plant them? And for us, we don't invest in protection programs as such, but we do look at ways to mitigate. So a lot of the landscapes we are planting in and are not necessarily completely deforested, but they're partially deforested. So it's like, why are there no trees here is often the first question we ask. Like, what caused it? Did a company come in and bulldoze it? Or is it actually because local people have no firewood? And no way of providing, they have no electricity. So what's going on in the local community that's causing those trees to disappear? And that is a really interesting one. So for some projects that we're working on, particularly in some of our African projects, it's like, what could we plant that actually could be used for firewood? So one of the answers we have is bamboo, and that bamboo is actually native to a lot of the countries. So you have to be careful with planting it because it could get out of hand. But if you plant bamboo, it grows super fast. It's a super cheap and easy firewood, and it means that your trees will stay there. So you have to look at the problem and why something is happening. On the other side, like, that's one scenario. Another scenario might be palm oil plantations, and you're up against big corporations who are wanting that palm oil. So that's a completely different scenario. And it's like, okay, what can we do here to actually bring back forest, but ensure that not more forest is brought into this? Often it's about employment, and it's about having other options. So we work in Indonesia, for example, finding different oils and products that that community can sell, that they can make money from. And that, because they know that the forest is dying and that's killing a portion of their livelihoods, but there is money on the table there. So what can we do to supplement that and make another option attractive? It's always a challenge. We also have done some pretty crazy things. So in Germany, we offered €1 million to RWE, which is a big dirty coal company, and they are destroying a 12,000-year-old forest. And in Germany, and I had to fly, I don't usually fly, but I had to fly, and I saw this ginormous hole in the ground where this mine is, and a tiny, tiny bit of this ancient forest left. So we offered $1 million for that. And it was a very large campaign. It got a lot of attention, media attention. And there were, at the same time, there was a court case going, and people were living in trees in the forest to try and prevent it from being cut down. And there is still that remnant of forest there. It's still an ongoing fight, but we will see what happens. The mining company still owns the land, but so far they've been blocked from cutting down the trees entirely, which is good. But every case requires a different set of skills, but it is really, really a challenge.
Why is planting trees such a big part of curing climate change?
That probably comes back to the question, the answer I had earlier about carbon. So trees, basically what the trunk of a tree is, it has a few different things it's doing, but it's storing carbon. And that is really important because we need to get carbon, the excess carbon, out of our atmosphere. So that's one of the reasons. There's a lot of flow on effects from trees that people forget. So one of the things that trees can do is bring back water. And my team actually created a really good mini documentary on this. And we have a project in Ghana where we're planting trees next to a river that's very dried up. But if you plant trees, there's water deep, 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 deep down in the soil that you can bring up. So the tree's root system pretty much goes down and it's like, it sucks up that water and it brings it closer to the surface. And what that can mean is that other things can start growing again. So it might be a completely barren landscape and it's like dust, but as soon as you start to bring trees back under the trees, you get pockets of grass again and you get smaller plants coming as well. So that's the other thing, because water is going to be one of the big issues as our planet gets hotter. Like, how are we going to have water for people? How can we bring back water? And if you plant enough trees, it can also on a local level bring rain back, which is also really important. So there's so many different effects. Like, I think trees can be not only one of the ways that we help tackle the climate crisis with pulling down greenhouse gases, but ultimately a way that we can actually benefit communities and help them become more secure and future-proof with the disaster that we have in a lot of countries. Like, we're very lucky, I think, within Europe and the US to not have some of the huge ramifications, but most of the countries we go to, most of the people that we work with, especially in the global south, already feel climate change. They see the disasters, they see the lack of water, they see the droughts. And so for them, we need to find solutions fast. And trees, I think, are one of those.
If you had one piece of advice and or information that you could give to us and everyone listening, what would it be?
The cheat answer to that would be to say to switch to a cozier and start planting trees, because I think it is one of the easiest ways to do it. Like, it is quite difficult to get out there, find a place where you can plant a tree and you're like, this is going to survive, and then look after and watch it grow. So that is probably the answer. I think the other thing is think about what is causing deforestation and what is causing climate change and some of the big gears there. There's a really good project called Project Drawdown, and they kind of list solutions to the climate crisis. And some of the stuff you don't think about, but we should be investing in. So things like women and girls' education is really important and key here. Switching to renewables. If you have not switch your house over to a renewable energy provider or ask your parents to do that, then you absolutely should, because it's one of the ways that consumers can have an impact on fossil fuels. And it is possible to connect to solar or renewable energy, and we need to do that as consumers. And I'm listing things here rather than giving you one, but my last one would, one of the main causes of deforestation is actually eating animal products. So to think about that, and it's not, yes, beef always gets thrown up there, but a lot of grain and particularly palm oil is fed to chickens and pigs, and it's how we have so many eggs, for example, and it causes deforestation. It's way more grain is used for feeding animals than is actually fed to us directly. So it's one of the things to think about is like, okay, how can you reduce your use of animal products? Because that can have a really big impact. So switch to Ecosia, get your parents to switch over the whole house to renewable energy if you can, and then try and reduce your impact when it comes to what you're eating and consuming as well.
For our listeners, how do you get Ecosia on your browser?
There's a few different ways you can do this. It depends what browser you use. So we have extensions which work on things like Firefox and Chrome. So you can go to the store and you type in Ecosia and you will find an extension and you can switch that way. For most of the major browsers, you can also go into your settings and just say preferences. And then in there it says search, and you can select your search engine. So we are one of the providers within Safari for that. So that's the easiest way if you use Safari, is to switch in that method, but you can also do that within Chrome, Microsoft Edge, and Firefox, so the big browsers. You can also just set Ecosio as your homepage and as your go-to site whenever you open up the internet. The other thing I would say, we also have apps. So you can use the Ecosio app on your phone as well, and you can plant more trees that way, which is super good because you often have questions on the go that you want. And we send a lot of content as well and updates on trees via the apps, which is cool.
So that concludes our interview. Thank you so much for coming.
Yeah, thank you for having me. Good luck with the podcast. Have a good day.
You too.
We really hope you enjoyed this episode.
Remember to follow us on our Instagram at Concerning Climate Podcast.
And make sure to do good things for the environment.
See you later.
Bye.